Well, growing up in Santa Monica, in my class, I was one of those kids that would, the teacher would be talking, but I'd be looking out the window dreaming. And I can't remember what I was dreaming about, but, you know, they were good dreams, I think. But the dream that I do remember having was in high school, and the dream was really strong, really big, and I wanted to be an NBA basketball player. Problem is, I'm a short, slow, white boy, and so that didn't really work out for me too well. So in college, my dream was very simple, very clear. And I thought it was going to be the answers to all my problems. And this really was strongly coming at me that I just need to get a girlfriend. If I can just get a girlfriend, everything's going to be fine. The problem with that was that in order to get a girlfriend, I wasn't really good enough as I was. I needed to be cooler, smarter, have more money. And I sort of created this false image of who I was. And I did things I didn't really enjoy, hung out with people I didn't really like, and was not very interesting as a result. And so I didn't really get a girlfriend for a while, but I managed somehow to scrape one up eventually. It surprised me because the problems didn't go away. In fact, it seemed like there was more problems in this situation. So I gave that up and was back to square one. But what I realized in that process was I was in a degree doing, I wasn't happy. I dropped out of college, much to my mom's chagrin and to my dad's elation, because you didn't have to pay any more money for that. And I had to get a job doing random jobs. And the thing that kept coming back to me was in this catalog, was this picture, a very simple picture of just this guy in the greenhouse working with plants. And I was like, that's what I want to do. That's just, you know, it's so clear. And of course, I didn't immediately see that. It took about 6 years of farting around till I finally signed up for my first botany class, and then boom, just powered through and ended up getting a degree in basically botany. And then I got a job as a botanist, but there was something missing, and I realized the funnest part of the job was when a dog walker or somebody stumble on this forest road where I was by myself, and I think I talked their ear off because I was so excited to meet another human and tell them what I was doing. And I realized I needed to have a job that mixed my love of botany with people. And there we go with the naturalist thing, like Dean was saying. It's a dream job. And so that part of my life is great. The place where things got a little fuzzy and mixed up was I got married in 2003 to a really great woman. And she got pregnant in 2006. And so the plan was, you know, we're free spirits, we're travelers, we like to cook, we like to socialize. What's going to happen is this baby's going to come into our lives and it is just going to get sort of absorbed into what we normally already do. And I'll just say that it didn't really work out that way. This baby came into our lives and simply, tactically, precisely obliterated pretty much any shred of individuality that me or my wife had up to that point. And our whole lives revolved around this little boy. My boy for the first time is the greatest moment of my life. Just having this baby and just being like, holy shit, like, I can't believe I have a kid. However great that was, it also, like I said, just kind of the dreams just disappeared. And as if that wasn't enough, a couple years later, we had another kid. And so, you know, it's a miracle I'm even here tonight, honestly. what I learned over time is that the dreams as a kid had to be really big and I want to be an NBA player, but now I realize they're small dreams. They're tiny dreams. And with two little kids, the dreams revolve around anything I can do within a 20-foot radius of my house. Yeah. So my garden, and I redid the whole backyard, and I put like the stone. I could talk all day long about it, but it's no one else finds it interesting except for me. But the front yard, that's where the issue is, because my wife doesn't really care that much about. She wants the front yard to look that when people drive by, she wants our house to look great, and it doesn't, and. And that kind of falls on my shoulders a little bit. And so we went back and forth, like, you know, the front yard. So I said, again, all right, what's this little image? And the image came up finally. And I was like, yes, this is what I needed. And the image was Gaga. And for those of you who don't know, Gaga is a Jewish game. It's like an octagon shaped court, and it's like a dodgeball where you hit the balls back and forth. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here? Great, that's really good. Because when I was a director of a camp, I had a Jewish naturalist who was like, I want to do this Jewish game, Gaga. And I said, okay, first of all, if you're going to teach this to sixth graders, you're going to need to get rid of that name Gaga and come up with something sexier for sixth graders, all right? Secondly, I never seen the game, so I want to watch it. So he came back the next day. He's like, okay, I got something. We're going to call it Gladiator Death Ball. I'm like, giddy up. So I went, and then when I saw the game, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember this game. And 10 years earlier, I'd worked a summer in a foster home, and this is this big kind of, it was out in the woods, and there's this big two-story house. But in the middle, in the bottom story, was this Gaga court. And I spent hours playing with these kids, some of which were autistic, who I couldn't talk with, but they loved smacking me with a ball in this gladiator death ball court. And so I told my wife, I'm like, Gaga. And my wife's like, no. And I said, well, you know, come on. And I gave her these reasons. I thought, oh, and can't we play it all night long one night? We played 100 games, and it's so much fun. And our son, who's, you know, really a fidgety, wriggly guy, like, I can just take him out there and play Gaga, and he'll come in, and he'll be an angel. And she's like, she's sort of getting warming up to the idea, but she's like, look, you know, I want it to look good. I don't care what happens. It just has to look good. And she knew that my carpentry skills of building a wall were pretty sad. I have a friend who's a great carpenter, and I had him come up over, and he's like, oh, yeah, you can sink a little cement here, and we can do angles. And of course, I was like, are you willing to help? No, I can't help you. But like, I can tell you what you got to do. And I was just like, this is going to look crappy if I do it. And so I was like, God, how am I going to get through this problem here? And I realized, like, the one thing that another thing I loved is this earth artist, this guy named Patrick Doherty, who simply weaves sticks together. And I realized I could circumnavigate being a good carpenter and hands-on guy by calling it an art, you know, kind of an art piece. And so I was like, all right, Kyla, I'm gonna do a weaved stick kind of thingy, walls. And she, you know, not really into it. And I said, just let me build one of the eight walls, and you can look at it. And if you don't like it, I'll rip it up, and then we can put whatever you want in, flowers or whatever. And so, of course, I had to learn how to do this. So I went on YouTube, and I, you know, woven stick fence. And what came up was this really old crotchety English guy. And the fence style was called a hurdle, okay? And I was like, watch this guy, and he was talking really fast, and he was smacking wood around, and he weaved this thing, and I was like, all right, I think I can try to pull this off. And so I had a source of sticks at my wife's father's ranch. He had planted a bunch of cypress trees, and so I cut off these cypress trees, trim all these branches, I had eucalyptus poles going up, and I weaved this stick fence, and it looked pretty damn cool. And my wife's like, all right, you know, good job. You got one down, eight to go. And it took me about a month just to get one in there. And the other problem that was probably the biggest hurdle for me, literally, it was, I don't know how this came to be, but all of our neighbors seems to have cats. And our cat is our front yard seems to be like the demilitarized zone. So everyone just agrees to shit on our front in our front yard, and then they all agree not to do that everywhere else, it seems like. So if I wanted to go work on this beautiful art hurdle piece, I'd have to go and dig up about 20 cat poops before I could even start. So it sat for a long that one wall sat for a year, to be honest. And finally I was like, I'm gonna really dedicate myself to this thing. And I started getting really into it. And like anything, when you start doing it a lot, your imagination gets absorbed with it, and I start dreaming about it, and I could see how things would work. So the fence, the first, you know, as you go around this thing that I've ultimately built, it's gotten better. The last fence looks really great compared to that first one. But the thing that I thought was the coolest, and that came about after the fact, was, first of all, both my parents are born in England, and so by building this old style English fence, it's very unique. I'm sure it's the only one in Morro Bay. It's probably the only one on the Central Coast. If this old crotchety guy from YouTube were to walk down my street, he would look at it and he would be like, "Nice job there!" You know, he'd be like, "Wow, I didn't expect to see that. That's great." And so it's a way for me to connect to this sort of English roots that I have, literally. But the second thing that's even cooler is it's a Jewish game. And what I've known for a long time, but it didn't make the connection until after I'd finished this thing that night, I was like, holy shit, was that my mom is a devout Catholic, and her father is a devout Catholic. But his father, my great-grandfather, was born in Italy as a Jew and left Italy under persecution and went to England. And I don't know if he converted to Catholicism or if he married a Catholic woman, or somehow there was a switch in there, but there's these Jewish roots. And I was telling this to a friend of ours who's a Jewish, and he's like, "You're part of the tribe." You know, so it was like, it allowed me to connect to this really cool Jewish side that I don't really know much about. And so, you know, there's this really unique kind of structure sitting in our front yard. And about a month ago, we had a group of friends come over, and it turned out one of them was Jewish. And she's like, "Hey, I'm going to do a Jewish blessing for this court." And so she, I don't know exactly what she said, but she went around and did this thing. So there's still one problem, though. I have this beautiful structure built. It's functional. It actually works. We played the game, and it was fun. But right now, I have a 2.5-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old son, and I'll just say the games are not that competitive at this point for me. And so now the big push is to try to encourage more people to come, because every place that I've played this game is sort of in a kind of a community builder. So I will just say, if you're ever walking down Ironwood Street, Morro Bay, and you see the structure, knock on the door, and I will come out, and we can play a couple games of Gaga with you. And so it's the dream is it took a long while, but it's very close. So thank you.